Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Well, we're beginning a section in Colossians, a new section, Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, through chapter 4, verse 1. After presenting the new life in Christ and encouragement to seek that new life, we've seen now three applications of the completed life in Christ. In verses 5 to 11, Paul says, among the basic principles of the kingdom of God for believers is that they are to put off the influences of the flesh. In verses 12 to 17, that they are to receive and put themselves under the influence of the new life in Christ and submit to that. And the third application today in chapter 3, verse 18, through chapter 4, verse 1, as he presents the order of things of this completed life. God has an order. And I emphasize three things to you this morning as we begin in these texts. There are six commands and a conclusion. That's in verses 18 through the end of the chapter. The seventh command is part of chapter 4 that we'll get into when we take that chapter. But there's an order of things in God's kingdom. He says in verse 18, in fact, you'd think that I would skip down since today's Father's Day down to verse 21, what fathers are supposed to do. But as you already know, I don't do that. We'll take fathers later. After they've had a good day and a good day of celebration, we'll hit the fathers in a couple of weeks so that they can handle it. But today in verse 18, it says, wives, be submitting yourselves to your own husbands as it is proper, that is, as it is appropriate, as it relates to the Lord. That's how it literally reads. Verse 19, we have husbands. Verse 20, children. 21, fathers. And verse 22, slaves or servants. There is an order. And this first one is probably challenged and changed and corrupted more than any other. And not only corrupted, but also abused and misused. Wives, be submitting yourselves. And notice the literal translation is emphasizing this is to be continuous. Be continually submitting yourselves to your own husbands, not to somebody else's husband, to your own husbands, not even to the pastor. It's not your husband. And by the way, that just as an insight, that's why in Paul's letters and the rest of Scriptures that most commands and teachings of Scripture are directed to the men because they are the heads of the household. A lot of groups in the early church, the pastor would get together with the men and go over the study of Scripture and pray together. They would go home and then teach their families. So it wouldn't be the children or the wives calling the pastor, to get counsel. It would be submit to your own husbands in everything. And it says, as it is proper in the Lord. And I want to take that last phrase. I want to take that first out of the 3 points from today. as it is proper in the Lord. In the Lord's order, it says, wives, be submitting to your own husbands. That's not the world's order, and it's not the order of our culture, and our culture has so infiltrated the church that our culture now dictates that that submitting to your own husbands is something from of old, something from Paul, who was against women to begin with, they say. And we don't do the submission thing anymore. Submission is the bad S word in the church. You don't say the word submit. That's just something we don't do. And that's the culture dictating how we are to approach scriptures. Whether it be wives, be submitting to your husbands, or women are not to teach in the church. Our culture says that that does not apply anymore, because after all, if you're up to date on the news, inequality is the big subject nowadays. We're pushing for equality for everyone. Well, the Bible pushes for equality. All are equal. All can be saved. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 3, husbands are commanded to consider their wives with all grace because they are equal in the grace of life. But there are different functions. It doesn't have to do with superiority. It has to do with function. And there's a reason for God's order that we're going to see in a moment. This is what is proper or fitting or appropriate in relationship to the Lord. Not to the world, not to culture. Scripture hasn't changed. It's still God's order. As a matter of fact, the second thing I want to mention to you is that this section, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, is parallel to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through chapter 6 through verse 9. 5:18 through 6:9 of Ephesians. And what it is making reference to in the book of Ephesians is about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine in which is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Presenting four participles in Ephesians chapter 5, showing what it means to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual odes or songs. Secondly, singing in your heart with melody to the Lord. We just studied that last week. Giving thanks always to God for all things. That comes with being under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And submitting yourselves to God's order. That is one of the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is submitting to God's order. And then he goes off from that in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 and starts with wives and submit to your husbands, and husbands love your wives, etc., etc. So he again gives the same order, same teaching as he does here in Colossians over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through chapter 6, through verse 9. Now, the reason I mention this is because of the emphasis that Paul gives is that he's speaking to Christians. He's talking to believers who are saved by and filled with the Holy Spirit, submitting themselves to God's order of things. This is not for the next door neighbor who's having marital problems. Well, you know, the Bible says you're to submit. This is for Christians. This is when husband and wife are both saved and are now part of God's kingdom. Here's the order of things and how we are to function. It does talk about, in 1 Peter chapter 3, talks about being married to a non-believer, what the believer is to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is the premier chapter in the New Testament speaking to Gentiles about marital relationships, especially being married to somebody who's not saved, what they are to do. These texts are written to God's people. in God's order. And so it says, there's a command, wives, be continually submitting yourselves to your own husband as it is proper in the Lord. In the text in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, when Paul mentions there, he says, wives, be submitting yourselves to your own husbands in everything. And you know the question I love to receive. Be submitting to your husbands in everything. Right away, somebody's hand goes up. Yes? What does it mean, in everything? It means in everything. That's what it means. What can't mean that? Yes, it does. And as we'll see as we go through this, it's not about submitting to a human being. It's submitting to God who's in control of that human being, whether you respect that human being for being in control of the Spirit or not. God's in control. It is fitting in the Lord, because in a marriage relationship, there's not a relationship of two, but a relationship of three. It's myself, my wife, and the Lord. That's why 1 Peter chapter 3 is very important, because 1 Peter chapter 3 tells the believing wife that if she has literally an unfaithful husband, that would include also a Christian that has gone astray and is now no longer obedient to the Lord. Well, what is she to do? She maintains her position and her order, but stays submitted to the Lord and lives out her relationship with Christ before her husband. And if so be, as Peter said in 1 Peter 3, if so be, God would use that to win the straying husband back to the Lord. But she's not to preach at him. She's not to take over the spiritual head of the family. Not to go out of order. But at the same time, continue to live a faithful life in their walk with Christ, being ready to share and being ready to dialogue or interact in any way possible to the one who is going astray. But it says, wives, be submitting yourselves to your own husbands as it is proper in the Lord. Now, today, for the next few moments, I want to deal with the reason why this is God's order. The reason why wives are to submit to their own husbands is because of what happened back in Genesis chapter 3. God is the one who set up this order, and he has a reason for it. And we have to understand what that reason is. Now, that reason is the same straight across the board. Well, is the wife to submit to the husband in relation to the church, but not to anything else? Around the home, the wife's in charge. No, in everything, straight across the board, because the same reason for God setting up this order is applicable to every situation, every circumstance, everywhere. Back in Genesis chapter 3, that's our reference this morning, Genesis chapter 3. You'll remember that God gave to Adam, the husband, and we're not letting the husbands off the hook today, so gave the command to the husband. Why? Because Adam was created in God's image to represent God and to be God's authority and leader. So he gives the command to Adam. But when Satan came, the Hakhanash, the serpent, the snake, and by the way, I don't know if you saw it or not, but on the internet a couple of weeks ago, they said that scientists, not Christians, but other scientists, say that they have found remnants that would indicate that snakes used to have feet down at the bottom. They used to be upright and used to have little feet that they would shuffle around on. I think that's kind of interesting. But the serpent or snake that used to speak and move around, but in Genesis chapter 3, Satan used the snake or the serpent, and he didn't tempt the man, he tempted Eve, his wife, and challenged what God told Adam. That's kind of an interesting side note as you follow that out, is that God commands the man, here's what you're to do, but Satan comes to the woman and says, what did God tell him? And then challenge that to her, but not to him, to her. Well, you know, God's just taken away from you, you know. God knows that in the day that you eat from that one tree that he told you not to eat from, you're going to be a god. You're going to be like God. You're going to know good and evil, and you're going to know all these things. God's just trying to keep you from becoming the fullness of who you could be. So she saw the fruit, that it was good. It was good fruit. How can that be bad? It's pretty good fruit. Her taste buds began to water, and she took from the tree and ate it and gave to her husband. You know, the man who's supposed to say, well, I'm sorry you ate of that because you just disobeyed God, but God commanded me not to, and I told you that you're not supposed to, and you did, so, you know. No, he says, you got a piece of fruit for me too? And so he eats with her. So when God comes looking for them in the garden, of course they went and hid themselves because they realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves on, which in Scripture is interesting. Fig leaves represent religion. They were used in religious practices. That's the religion of man, is to cover up his sin, not to confess it, not to stand naked before the Lord, so to speak, so that God can see all of our sins. But when God found them, he says, well, why were you hiding? What's going on? Did you eat from the tree I told you not to? Well, yeah, and then the blame game goes. Adam says, the woman that you gave to me, your creation, she made me eat it. The woman says, the snake did it. The snake made me do it. So he comes back to the man and says to him, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and not to me, therefore you shall work, till the land, and by the sweat of your brow you shall eat. But he comes to the woman in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. He comes to the woman and says to her, he had said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your labor pain and your pregnancy. You shall bear sons in pain, and your desire shall be toward your husband, and he shall rule over you. So because of sin, and because of the sin nature, God has instituted pain and suffering into childbearing and child rearing. Why? As a constant reminder of sin. But the focus here, it says, and your desire shall be toward your husband. Isn't that romantic? And he shall rule over you. The problem is, the word desire has nothing to do with desiring someone romantically. The word in Hebrew used here means to take control of, to take authority over someone. Because of your sin nature, you shall desire to take over or be in control of your husband, and he shall rule over you. So your sin nature is going to want to take him over and control him. But in my order, he shall rule over you. Now in chapter 4, in Genesis chapter 4, we have the exact wording to show us what these words mean. When Cain killed his brother Abel, right before he killed him, remember, God rejected Cain's offering of sacrifice and received what Abel had to give, and Cain got upset about it. And God came to Cain, and he said to him, if you do right, should be no problem. But because you have done that which is not right, you're upset. And if God doesn't accept it, then find out what he does accept, right? But he took it personal. He took my brother's sacrifice, but God wouldn't take mine. Instead of finding out, well, then what sacrifice does God accept? He got angry. Not just angry at God, but angry at his brother to the point that he started entertaining thoughts about killing his brother because God received his sacrifice and not his own. So God warned him in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, God came to Cain and he says, if you do right, will there not be exaltation? And if you do not do right, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is toward you. There it is. Its desire is toward you. Sin is crouching at the door and its desire is toward you. I'm not talking about sin having a romantic desire for Cain. Talking about sin wanting to take over and control and have authority over Cain so that Cain would kill his brother. Sin is crouching at the door. This desire of sin is to control you, overcome you, and be your authority. Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is toward you, but you should rule over it. Same words as in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, showing that these two chapters go together. Same Hebrew wording, different stories. Why would the story of murder come after the story of the introduction of sin into the world? Is to show that sin, no matter in whom or no matter what circumstances, sin desires to take people over. The shooting this week in the church where 9 people were killed. That is evil. That is sin taking someone over and causing him to kill 9 people. He entertained thoughts while sitting in their prayer meeting with them before he killed them. He even thought about not shooting them because they were so nice to him. But he decided after sitting there for an hour to go ahead and do it anyway. Perfect example of Cain and Abel. Sin taking over. The reason why wives are to submit to their husbands in everything is because the effects of sin nature in her causes her to want to take over, take authority and control over her husband. That's not a human trait. That's because of sin nature. Now, it might not sound fair to you. It's not picking on women. It's showing that every person, man, woman, boy, and girl, are born into this world with a sin nature, and that's just how the sin nature works out. According to God and his word, how the sin nature works out in the woman. She's going to want to take over and control. And I already know what the arguments are. Well, you know, there's men that take that too far and they're very abusive and they're not, you know. I'm not talking about the abuses. The abuses are very real and they need to be addressed. That's why I stress to you, this is for Christian people. Not just religious Christian, but people who are seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is not a human effort or a human decision, but rather it is the influence of the Holy Spirit causing us to submit to God's order of things in the midst of a culture, in the midst of a world that challenges that, in fact, is totally rebellious to that. And the key, as we will see as we go through these texts, as we continue to relate to you, the key in these texts is to realize that you're not in submission to a human being, but rather to the Lord who is over that human being. When we get down to masters and slaves, I'm sure there's a lot of slaves down through history that could say, well, I submitted to my master, and boy, was he horrible. And we will see at the end of this section, and as people have seen over the years, it's not to a human being. You're submitting to God's command and His order, trusting that He's in charge, not the person. There might be difficulties, there might be abuses, but it goes both ways, so let's not get into that because when it says children obey your parents, I'm sure that there are many parents that abuse that and abuse the children because they're bigger and stronger and you have to obey me, and they're very abusive in what they do. Everybody has a sin nature and everybody abuses in the midst of the commands of God. That doesn't make it right. But what it does do is say to me, in fact, I've had my two older children come to me after they were moved out and we had a discussion. In fact, it was right here in the walkway of the church. So if anybody disagreed, they could be free to walk out. It was after church one time when both our older son and daughter were here, and they had a discussion with me about submission and obedience. And my son says, I was perfectly obedient to you as long as you were right. So who decides that, you know? Well, God wants me to submit as long as you're right. Well, how do you know I'm not right? He just didn't agree with it. So you're not right? No. Sorry. So it's not pick and choose. It's not even agreeing with or liking. You know, when I hear God's commands, all of a sudden look over to, I'm a servant and I've got a boss at work and I go, okay, this is what God wants me to do. Yeah, ew. Not him or not her. Submit to them at work? Yep. Because you're not submitting to a person, you're submitting to God's order and you're trusting the Lord who's in charge to work things out in us and to bring about His will in our lives. Well, the next week, we'll continue with this. And don't worry, I'm going to be just as blunt and factual with the husbands. Husbands, be loving your wives. That's also a command to be continuously doing. So as we continue study of God's order, when you leave here today, understand more than anything what the reason is for it. It's not just a religious system. There is a spiritual reason for the command and order of God. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again. For for the fact that not only have you saved us out of your grace and mercy, but you have provided an order for us to function in and to cause us to be in submission because of sin, to be in submission to your order and to your will. You have an order and function to keep sin in check. You have an order that causes you to be manifested in all that we do. In all of our struggles, in all of our sin, in all of our weaknesses, the glory of God is manifested in the midst of our submission and obedience to your order. Not just because the Bible says so, but understanding why the Scripture presents God's order in this way. We all, whether it's man, woman, or boy and girl, we all want to take over and take control and take authority for our own lives instead of being submission to those who are put in authority over us. We not only think of the husband-wife situation, but the parents and the children. The sin nature wants us to be in control and authority over our own lives and not be in submission to anybody or anything other than ourselves. Help us to see that that's part of the sin nature. Even amongst husbands who are to lay down their lives for the spiritual welfare of their family and give up themselves, sin nature still wants to be in control and wants to be in charge. So all of us are suffering from the same effects of sin and the sin nature that's always with us. But help us to understand your ways and your order of things so that if it's our heart's desire for our sin to be in check, that it will be under control as we submit to God's Spirit filling us and influencing us and empowering us to walk in the ways of the Lord and not the ways of our culture and world. And above all, help us to understand the reason behind your order, that we might be more accepting and understanding as to why it must be the way that it is. We just thank you and look to your Spirit to minister these things to us in Jesus' name. Amen.